Honey and everybody, welcome back to the Mowa Dissing Show. This is Nicole Bakanage.
And I'm Shirley Nordrum.
And today we are going to talk to you about septic systems.
Yeah, I thought we'd talk about a project that we did a while back and recap that, what we did. When I started with the University of Minnesota Extension in 2008, that 1 year was a period of looking at what does the University of Minnesota Extension have to offer the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. And one of the things that was identified within that year was that the university has a wastewater program to train wastewater professionals and to help homeowners understand how to operate and maintain their septics. Mm-hmm. So then 2009, we had what we called sewer camp. And that was the university coming to Leech Lake and offering classes to the wastewater professionals, the guys at housing and public works and DRM, a series of five classes. And so they learned about basic septics, installation, design. And part of all that is soils and understanding soils and knowing what kind of soils are good for, treating wastewater, and then inspecting those systems. So we had those five classes during the course of the summer of 2009. We also had folks from Red Lake participating in that. It was free.
Was that on the res here?
Yep. All the classes were held here except one. Soils was held in Brainerd. And the reason that was held in Brainerd is that for that class, you have to have a soils pit so that people can really get down and look at the soils and feel the soils and begin to understand them. And there was a housing development going in. Kind of like that, you know where that big Cragen's Resort sign is, mm-hmm. as you're entering Brainerd? Just off the road down there a little bit, they were doing some housing, so we had access to some good soil pits to do that. But all the classes other than that one were held here. Mm-hmm. Typically, they're held throughout the state. And at that time, I had some funding so that actually the classes were free for tribal wastewater professionals. And we offered everybody to come. An invitation was extended to all the Red Lake and the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe bands to attend that. And then we only had Leech Lake and Red Lake take that opportunity. And then in 2010, we started thinking about, you know, we're helping homeowners understand septics when we go to their home and we inspect them. And I do one-on-one homeowner education with them. But let's look at communities and visit communities. And we decided to do this on Leech Lake and Red Lake. And that was about the time that I was lucky enough to have an internship, which you were the intern.
And that was your first one, right?
Yep, that was the first one. And so we had a pretty good time that summer. We went to the community of Onigum, and we inspected all the septic systems there. We made drawings of the lot, where the house is, where the tank is, where the drain field is, mapping it all out, visiting with homeowners about how to properly operate and manage those systems. Because part of the thing is that when a septic system is designed for your home, it's designed based on the number of bedrooms that you have and then the expectation that there's only two people per bedroom. And we know that that is hardly ever the case in Indian country.
Yeah.
That our homes have way more extended family and family members in them than two people per bedroom. And so when they design the wastewater flow, they calculate 75 gallons per person. And then with that formula, they come up with
per day
how much water is expected to be used in that home. And so then that system is designed to treat that amount of water. When you have more than that, it becomes overloaded and can fail. Mm-hmm. And so that's why that homeowner piece was so important. And you and I spent a lot of time in Onigum.
Yeah, every day.
Every day, yeah. We would travel down there.
There was one day where we went to Red Lake.
We did. We went to Red Lake and helped them because they were doing the same thing up there. Actually, I think we went up there a couple times.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. A couple days in a row.
Yeah, we went up there. And we went up there with a group of kids, too, a group of youth. We had mm-hmm. youth from Red Lake and youth from Leech Lake. And they were working side by side with us, learning how to inspect a septic system. And I think their, what would she be, their like environmental health specialist was also doing some home inspections at the same time for indoor air quality. So our youth got to experience, you know, how to inspect for a septic system, why it was important, how properly operating and managing that system once it's properly designed and installed protects our water, protects our groundwater and our surface water, ultimately our rice and our fish and our way of life. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really cool opportunity, hanging out with the youth and being able to share that with them. And that happened up in Red Lake. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I understand that you didn't know anything about septic systems before your internship.
I didn't even know if I had one at home. That's how clueless and naive I was, but I did. I learned a lot, and I, by listening to you talk throughout the internship with homeowners and educators and just people in general, and your higher-ups over there at the U, and I kind of had my own spiel down talking with people about it, and then I remember this one time somebody was saying that they dumped oil down the toilet and down the sink, and I'm like, I was just like horrified. I was just like, I think my heart cried. No, but and then they told me that they dumped it in the ground, like just right outside, and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm just like, how many people do this?
Yep.
How many people do this that do not know, but how many people know this that do know?
Right.
How harmful it is to the groundwater.
So, you know, one of the things that we always tell people is don't flush anything down the toilet other than the waste from your own body and toilet paper.
Yep.
Because one of the things that happens is when the water leaves your home, it goes into your septic tank. And then in your tank, solids sink to the bottom. And then they have what your top layer is your toilet paper and oils and fats and greases. Those things float on top of the water. And when you have too much oil, it's like grease from fry bread or cooking oil or whatever that might be, that can get out into, it can, when you wash your clothes or when there's a big load of water coming into your septic tank and it churns it around, that oil can go out into your drain field. And your drain field, whether it's a mound, a big hump on your lawn somewhere, or whether it's in the ground, is some perforated pipes. And the water goes through the pipes and goes out into those perforated pipes and then leaks out into the ground. And it needs 3 feet of good soil to get full treatment. And when you get that oil, it clogs those little holes and mm-hmm. it can keep your system from working properly. And the year before you were the intern, there was a homeowner that had a brand new septic system installed. That particular summer, they had an opportunity to make some pocket change by making fry bread, a lot of fry bread. And they did not know or understand how to properly operate or manage that. And they were dumping that oil in that grease from the fry bread into their septic system down the toilet. And that system failed. Like by fall time, it was shot.
Wow.
And so that's a lot of financial resources and out of somebody's pocket that needed to be fixed. And that's why, you know, the education piece of that is so important, because basically they just didn't know or understand. No one told them.
So typically for, let's say, a 2-3-bedroom home, maybe, how much does it cost to put in a new septic system?
It's not so much the number of homes as it is the type of soil that you have to treat. If you've got a nice type of soil that's good for treatment, and you've got 3 feet before you hit the groundwater or water or soil that has inundated with water during some part of the year, if you got that good 3 feet of separation from that groundwater, you can put in an in-ground system, and they're a lot cheaper. The last quotes that I heard from the Public Works was that an in-ground system costs between $7,000 and $10,000. But if you don't have that, then you have to have a mound, and you put the dirt on top of that, and so that you get your 3 feet of separation from the groundwater. And those cost a lot more. I understand that they can start about at $10,000, and I've heard astronomical costs of $24,000 by someone that has a tiny lakeshore lot, and they have kind of a large house, so they needed a bigger system. And I asked them if they would share with me how much that cost them, and it was $24,000.
Oh.
So you really want to protect that investment, you know, because it costs somebody. It either comes out of Indian Health Service funds, because there was an act in 1957 that gave Indian Health Service the delegation to provide safe drinking water and wastewater facilities to tribes. Mm-hmm. And so each individual is eligible in their life to receive a well and a septic. And so that comes out of somebody's pot of money that you get that system. And if you don't take care of it, then it has to go on a list. It's called a sanitary deficiency list. And you have to wait for funds to become available to get that repaired. And so...
I imagine that list is backed up.
Is long. I think it's better now than it has been in the past. But there have been larger number of people that needed to have repairs. And what do you do while you're waiting, you know? Yeah. It's either impacting the groundwater and the resources, or you're having to use someone else's home to shower. Or I know a family that brought in a porta potty. So, you know, you go to the porta potty and then you have to maintain that. And it just becomes a headache that's easily avoidable by understanding how your system works.
I know one community member, I won't even say what community it was, but it was on the reservation here. And she had it took her like a month to get the, I don't know, maybe it was just for her finance mm-hmm. reasons, but to get her septic pumped, and her water was backing up. Her septic was backing up. She couldn't wash dishes. She couldn't shower.
Yep.
It was coming out of her showers. Couldn't flush the toilet. It was just a typical scenario of when you need to.
Yeah, that's
a
when,
dire need.
That's when you understand how much water you use a day is when you.
Absolutely. And so she eventually did get it pumped in here. She was flushing baby wipes.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I remember that one summer, too, there was Pampers being, you know.
How you flush a Pamper is beyond me, yeah. Because that's quite large. I'm not sure how it goes down there, but you just don't put anything in there but toilet paper. Even I see they have, like, some of these home products for cleaning will say that you can put it in your septic. I wouldn't recommend doing it. Why do it? You know, put it in the garbage.
Yep.
Just protect that system, protect your investment, and protect our surface and groundwaters.
Yeah. Then there's toilet paper that's septic safe too. It breaks up easier.
Yep.
That's the stuff I get at home, just because ever since that whole internship, I think about it more, you know.
Yeah.
I think about it in a different way now.
Sometimes, I haven't recently, but sometimes I'll go to classes and talk to youth about septics, and it seems kind of boring, but I try to make it fun for them, because the main message is, you know, not to flush anything down there but toilet paper. And so the way I demonstrate that is I'll just have like three quart jars. I'll put toilet paper in one, a piece of a Pamper in another one, and then something like a paper towel in another one. And I tell them to shake it and try to get it to break up, because it needs to be broken up in your septic. And, you know, they'll just have fun shaking that. And they really have fun with the Pamper, because they see that that just expands and gets bigger, because those little pellets that are in there, yeah. As they get wet, they just gel up, you know.
Yeah.
And then they always think that they can break up the paper towel, and they never can. They'll just shake it and shake it and shake it. And I'll say, see, that floats on the surface, and it could get flushed out and block, you know, your water from getting out to your drain field or back it up into your home.
That's a good visual for anybody.
It's fun for them. And then the other piece that we teach them about is, you know, your drain field. That's not the place to play. You want to stay off that drain field, because anytime you're walking on it, or hope you're not driving on it, you're changing the soil. You're compacting the soil, and it needs to have that air, and it needs to be maintained so that it can work properly. And you can actually break your pipes by driving over it. You know, you're putting that weight on there and compressing it. And we saw a system that, you know, someone drove over it only once. And for whatever reason, that one time, that pipe broke. And then somebody had to go back in there and repair that. So I talked to them about that. And then the other thing, when we're out inspecting, if there's youth around, we'll get them to come help us. You remember doing that? Yeah. Come hold this tape, and then you can talk to them about, you know, don't play on this and don't ride your bike on it. And mounds are not the place to make your bicycle jump or tie the dog. I see a lot of dogs tied by the mound, and then they start digging in it, and they're digging out the side of it, and pretty soon you have septage, that wastewater that's not treated yet, coming out the side of that septic, and that's dangerous. That's called an imminent threat to human health because there's pathogens in there. You can get sick from that.
Yep.
And so you don't want that.
For people who don't know, typically if for a well-maintained septic system, how often would it be like, how often would they need their septic system pumped out?
We recommend every 2 years. There's a lot of older information out there that says 5, and that might be fine if there's just like 2 people in your home or something like that. But typically there's a lot more people in the home and visiting over the summertime and periods of time where people stay. So we're recommending every 2 years to have that system pumped. And if you can't find your manhole and there's, you know, grass growing over it, it probably hasn't been maintained for a while. And so every time we found a house like that and we're out there looking for where is the manhole, that's probably a good time to get it pumped and take care of it.
And you see those on the market now in little tablets, or some people use yeast.
Yeah.
And they, you know, dump it down the well. Is that, I mean, those tablets, are those necessary?
I don't even recommend using those at all. University of Minnesota doesn't recommend adding anything. The only way to really maintain a septic system is to pump it. That gets everything out of there. Those tablets or that powder that you put down there, it breaks up the solids on the bottom, and then so it's letting little particles out into that drain field. And that's how that works. And really, you know, to get your septic system pumped, it probably costs, you know, not too much money. I guess we're not supposed to say prices. But it doesn't really cost that much if you put it over. It's pennies a day. We'll just say that. It's pennies a day over, you know, to get it pumped every 2 years. So it's a reasonable cost. The other thing, you know, other than not driving or playing or building over your drain field or your septic tank, is to have that nice vegetative cover. I go to a lot of places, and because in some areas here there's a lot of sand, you don't get that nice grass cover, but a nice grass cover will help that and keep it mowed in the summertime. You can stop mowing it about, you know, the end of September, let the grass grow a little bit longer, because that will add a little insulation for the wintertime. But you really want to keep that mowed, because that soil under there is a little bit moisture in there, and it'll help evaporate that off and take better care of it. And so many people now are mowing. I've noticed more and more that there's certain communities on the reservation that I've visited lately, and they're really taking very good care of their septic system. So the word is getting out there, and I think it probably helped having big projects like Onigum.
Yeah.
We also tested the well water down in Onigum. Remember, we tested everybody's water for E. coli nitrate. And for the first time that I'm aware of, other than when the well was drilled, we took a look at arsenic, because that's recommended that we look for that. And they did the same thing up in Red Lake. And up in Red Lake, they discovered that they had arsenic in a lot of their water at higher levels than what's recommended by the Safe Drinking Water Act, the EPA standards, and which led to really some cool stuff. There was a whole housing unit where it's the recommended safe drinking water levels are 10 milligrams per liter of arsenic. And that has changed recently. I think in the past 10 years, it used to be 50 milligrams per liter. And now it's 10, which makes it a challenge because arsenic is naturally occurring in this area. And they were testing up there, and they were getting really high, you know, like 70, 80 milligrams per liter, which led to a whole community on the West End being hooked up to the big drinking water system that they have. And it also resulted in them getting some funds to take a look at drinking water across the reservation to see what kind of problems that they had with arsenic up there.
Yeah.
Like, we had in one of the drinking wells here on Leech Lake, Inger had an arsenic problem about 10 years back, and they had to move the well. They moved the whole community well system to another location to reduce the level of arsenic that people were getting in their drinking water.
That was effective?
Yes, I understand that it was.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So one thing that comes to mind is when people dump stuff down the toilet, and I'm guilty of doing this as a kid, like old mop water.
Mm-hmm.
They dump it down the toilet. Talk about that a little bit. How does that those chemicals in that mop solution or cleaning solution affect, and does it affect us? And
It's probably the best place to dump your mop water and things like that if you use the right amount. I've been in homes where somebody got all crazy with the pine cleaner and its overbearing scent of pine. Anytime, you know, there's a reason why it tells you how much to use on there. And so those are probably treatable amounts once it filters through that 3 feet. But bleach is something that you really have to be cautious of.
Mm.
Bleach can ruin your septic system. It just can't handle it. And so, you know, a capful in your laundry is cool. That's what it says. And, you know, maybe a capful in your mop water if that's what you use to clean with. Especially if someone's ill. I know a lot of people like to use bleach. That's fine, but don't overuse bleach. That's, I'm not a fan of bleach in any way. I don't really like it. Occasionally, we have to use that at our house, but it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So just use the recommended amount, and the same thing with your laundry. The other thing we educate people about is spreading your laundry out over the week. And I'm going to tell this story about a home. I'm not even going to say where it was at, but it was a home that had a new system installed in the springtime. And we happened to be inspecting that area. And the whole side of the mound was blown out, and there was water surfacing on the ground, which I mentioned before is a health hazard, an environmental hazard. And there was just one person living in that home. And so we visited with that homeowner, like, what in the world is going on here? And here come to find out, she has a day off in the middle of the week, and she likes to help people out. She has a washer and dryer. So people come over to her home and use it like a laundromat, which it simply wasn't designed for.
Mm-hmm.
And that amount of water just created a mess and caused her system to fail. She had to, you know, have her tank pumped and use it as a holding tank. And she was really feeling bad because, you know how we are, we like to share.
Yep.
You know, and she felt blessed that she had this and she liked to visit with people on her day off, and that's what happened. And she just couldn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And had to help her neighbors understand that, you know, she wasn't being stingy with her washer and dryer. There was a real reason why we couldn't do that, why they had to find an alternative place to wash their clothes. But so when you, like we said, your system is designed to accept a certain amount of water a day. And so you can help your system by spreading your laundry out throughout the week. You know, wash every other day or something like that. It's not good to just do one load after another. One, you're using so much water that day that it's putting an extra burden on your system.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, if you can picture your whole washing machine water, I don't know how many gallons are in there, like, I don't know, 12 or 15 gallons, just rushing into this tank that has solids on the bottom and your floating toilet paper, fats, oils, and greases, it just churns it up. And so it lends the possibility of something going out and getting lodged into those perforated holes or blocking something up. So
mm-hmm.
It's just better to spread it out throughout the week.
So what would happen if, say, I had a failing system? I don't know where my drain field is at my house. I haven't figured that out yet. I haven't.
All okay? These years and you haven't figured that
no,
out yet?
I haven't. But say I, you know, my system failed. And how does that work now if for some odd reason I win the lottery and I buy a new septic system to have it installed, they don't take the old one out, do they? Or do they? And how does that work with the drain field?
Well, if your tank was not cracked and in good condition, you could probably still use your tank. But they'd have to, you, the main thing you have to have is room for another system. Another area of the yard where you could put that, that you haven't, hasn't been compromised by your family's activities, either by parking or picnic tables or swing sets or all that kind of stuff. So if you don't have that space, number one, it's really horrible if you don't have the space at all.
Yeah.
Number two is if you have an area that has been, you know, compacted a lot, you're probably going to have a mound. So it's going to, you know, cost you more to install that. So that's when someone builds a house or gets a new house, there's supposed to be an area that's set aside for the alternative system. And it's not supposed to have any activity on it. It's supposed to be just set aside and left be. And I still don't think that we do a very good job of educating people on where that is in their yard, because most of like the lease sites here definitely have enough land for that. But I still think we're not doing a good job about telling people where that is so that they're not doing something there to make it possible to have another system.
So I should really find out where my drain field is.
You probably should. You should have a picnic one day and we'll just come over and figure that out.
We could, because I'm having a huge dinner on July 4th and now I'm going to be like, I bet they're standing on the drain field. I bet you're standing on the... I'm going to get just paranoid.
Have it in the front yard?
Don't stand over there. My drain field might be there. Make it really weird and uncomfortable. But I always like to tell this story because it's actually one of the three memorable stories. Actually,
I'm kind
of
worried about what she's going to say.
The three memorable stories from the internship. I think I can only tell this one, actually. We're in Red Lake, and it was raining really bad that day, or really hard.
Really hard.
Really hard. We had thunder. We had lightning.
We didn't have lightning yet.
I seen it before you did. That's why I got scared. It was raining very heavily, and Shirley standing there next to a bed spring. And a big metal rod that she uses to locate where the drain field ends, where it starts on all four sides. So we're sitting there and I'm like shying away from her because that lightning, I seen lightning and I was like, I think we should go. And she's like, oh, come on, you big baby. You're a sissy. And all
I don't think I called her a sissy.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. So I'm sitting there like scared for her safety and I'm just kind of shying away from her, and I'm just like, yeah, I think it's time to go. You know, I'm seeing this lightning just striking in the sky. Finally, one just cracked, hit the ground right next to us. And you're standing there with this metal rod, and and that bed springs like a foot away from you. And she's like, yeah, I think it's time to go now. It's like, so that... lightning like cracked in the between us and we were like 10 feet apart and it was like
it was time to go.
It was
I wasn't gonna give up. I wanted to find that. I had a goal when I went up to help them in Red Lake that we would get 12 systems done that day, and I wasn't gonna let the rain stop me, but I did let the lightning stop me. I had to.
I don't even remember how many homes we got through. Was that the last one of the
day? I think we only got like 6 done that day, and I was so disappointed, but you know, there's always another day.
That was a tough system to locate.
It was very hard. We were having a very hard time finding that.
And we're talking 90 degree days sometimes. Yeah,
very hot.
Open sun. And I didn't dress appropriately, might I add. She said, make sure you dress appropriately. And I said, I got you. And I would come in capris and flip-flops. And I swear she knew that she was going to go out somewhere rough and...
always,
taught me a lesson.
Always wear boots. You know, you don't want to be walking around in someone's backed up septic with your flip flops on.
Yeah.
It's really not good to walk around in it with your boots, but you never know. Especially when the grass is long, what you're going to run into.
Yep. But I lucked out. One of the friends, one of our friends I came with that day, just so happened to have knee high brand new pairs of socks in her bag, extra. She's like, oh, you want to borrow some socks? I said, oh, yeah, you know, and I put them, and I'm keep in mind I was wearing flip-flops, so I had these socks on that went up to my knees and, like, just touched the bottom of my capris. And I hop out of the truck, and I said, I look like a samurai warrior. Shirley's like, you look stupid is what you look like. You look pretty silly.
I was trying hard to teach her folks how to dress safely when you're inspecting septic systems, but
it was fun.
I'm not sure I got the message through on that one.
It was such a fun summer. But that is going to wrap up today's show.
All right. Thank you very much for listening.
Oh, miigwech bisendawi agminawa.